Now a logo of a thick-maned lion framed by a ring of film. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer. In black and white film, titles appear inside a cartoon racetrack. Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer presents Groucho, Chico, and Harpo, the Marx Brothers, in A Day at the Races, with Alan Jones, Maureen O'Sullivan, and Margaret Dumont. A Sam Wood production, copyright 1937. This film has been described by Descriptive Video Service, a division of the Media Access Group at WGBH, with funding from the U.S. Department of Education. Described by Melissa Carlson, read by Peter Haydu. For more about DVS, call 1-800-333-1203 or visit our website, dvs.wgbh.org. More titles, directed by Sam Wood. Screenplay by Robert Perosh, George Seton, and George Oppenheimer. Original story by Robert Perosh and George Seton. Musical director, Franz Waxman. Music by Bronislaw Kaper and Walter Jurman. Associate producer, Max Siegel. Cast, Groucho as Dr. Hackenbush, Chico as Tony, Harpo as Stuffy, Alan Jones as Gil, Maureen O'Sullivan as Judy, and Margaret Dumont as Mrs. Upjohn. Now a train pulls into a station, Sparkling Springs Lake. Beneath nearby palm trees, a billboard reads, Sparkling Springs, America's foremost summer resort. Racetrack, casino, Morgan Hotel, Standish Sanitarium. Well-dressed travelers exit the train and approach a line of buses.
This way to the sanitarium. Free bus to the sanitarium. This way to the Standish Sanitarium.
A man with dark curly hair motions to a bus.
Free bus, Standish Sanitarium.
Glancing at him, people board another bus marked Morgan Hotel.
Free bus to the sanitarium. Just got a room for a few more.
He gestures to his empty bus.
Sanitarium?
No, racetrack.
You don't want to go to the races. You're too sick.
I'm going to the races.
All right, you want something hot in the fifth race?
Others pass by.
Sanitarium, bus to the sanitarium, Standish Sanitarium.
They all board a different bus.
Free bus to the sanitarium.
A smiling young woman watches him.
No use, Tony. Business keeps up like this. I'm afraid I'll have to drive the station wagon myself.
Oh, no, Miss Judy. You can't fire me.
But what if I can't pay your salary?
That's a different. You don't have to pay me, but you can't fire me.
Tony, you're sweet.
Yeah, and don't worry, Miss Judy. I'm going to get us some customers if I have to make them a sick myself.
Oh, Tony, I'm afraid we need more than customers. You don't understand. I owe a great deal of money. Far more than I can ever pay.
Let me see. Who do I know that's rich? Hey, how about that big, strong, sick woman at the sanitarium?
You mean Mrs. Upjohn?
Yeah, that's the one. She'd be glad to lend you the money. Oh, she's a rich. Why, last week she gave me a dollar tip.
She did once offer to help, but it doesn't seem right to borrow from a patient.
All right, then we make her a partner.
Well, Tony...
Hey, we gotta hurry before she changes her mind.
Later, at a Victorian mansion, two pillars at the gate read Standish Sanitarium. Inside...
Go ahead, Miss Judy. There's a Miss Upjohn now.
Across the room...
But Mrs. Upjohn...
Now, there's no use talking anymore, Doctor. I'm leaving.
Judy hurries over.
Mr. Whitmore, I want my bill made out at once.
Just as you say, Mrs. Upjohn.
What's the matter, Mrs. Upjohn?
It's no fault of yours, my dear. It's the doctor. The idea of telling me I'm perfectly well when I know I'm on the verge of a nervous collapse. Goodbye, Judy, dear. Have the boy come up and get my bags, please.
Mrs. Upjohn rushes upstairs. Judy shoots Tony a worried look, then retreats quickly into another room. A handsome young man waits inside.
Gil! Oh, Gil.
They embrace.
I'm glad you're here.
What is it, honey?
Hold me tight. I'll be all right.
Come on, honey, tell me.
It's Mrs. Upjohn. She's leaving.
Oh, let her leave. Say, I have something here worth 100 Upjohns.
You don't understand. I'm going to lose this place.
No, you're not. That's what I'm trying to tell you. Honey, from me to you with love.
He hands her a document.
Your radio contract, you've got it.
She starts to read and frowns.
Gilding out of Honey Lamb by Blue Bolt, 2 year, high hat. Gild, this doesn't make sense.
It's a horse, honey, a racehorse.
Well, perhaps I'm awfully stupid, but what do we want with a horse?
Now, well, I tell you, horse wins race, owner wins money. Owner gives money to girl he loves. Girl saves sanitarium. Well, it's very simple.
Very simple. Hmm? But what happens if Horst loses race?
Oh, but he can't lose. He's a wonder. I picked him up for a song. Only $1,500.
$1,500?
Mm-hmm.
Why, Gil, that's all the money you had in the world.
Well, I still have my job singing at the casino.
Now, Gil, you return that horse at once and get your money back. You've got to go on with your music, your career.
Judy, you need money fast. More money than I can make 10 years of singing.
I don't care. I want you to be a great singer, not a racetrack tout.
Oh, wait a minute. That isn't fair.
Are you going to return that horse?
I can't do that. I just bought him.
You mean you don't want to? You'd rather bet on a horse than on yourself.
Of all the ungrateful people.
Well, what have I got to be grateful for? You've thrown your career away in a long shot and gambled away our happiness. Here, take your horse.
Right.
And I hope you're very happy with it.
Gil storms out. Now in the lobby, Tony eavesdrops.
I'm going to someone who understands me. I'm going to Dr. Hackenbush.
Dr. Hackenbush? Why, I never heard of him. Has he a sanitarium?
The biggest in Florida. That's what he told me. Of course, I was never there. Hugo, Dr. Hackenbush, always insisted on treating me in my home. Why, I didn't know there was a thing the matter with me until I met him.
A group of bellhops carries Mrs. Upjohn's luggage outside. Tony snatches two of the bags, then leads the bellhops back inside. They file past Mrs. Upjohn.
Excuse me, please. We're sure getting a lot of new customers since I heard Dr. Hackenbush is coming.
Did you say Hackenbush?
Yes, ma'am.
I wonder if that could be the same one. Where does he come from?
Where's your Hackenbush come from?
Palmville, Florida.
That's the one.
Why, Judy! Judy, why didn't you tell me Dr. Hackenbush was coming here?
Dr. Hackenbush?
Judy glances at Tony.
Oh, I'm so excited.
Will averts his eyes.
Judy, why don't you make him chief of staff? He'd do wonders for the sanitarium. With Dr. Hackenbush in charge, I might help you financially. I don't say I will, but I might. Oh, Mr. Whitmore, have my bag sent right up. I'm staying.
Judy hurries into the next room. She finds Tony hunched over a desk writing.
Who's Dr. Hackenbush?
I don't know. But she wants a Hackenbush, you're going to get a Hackenbush.
On a telegram addressed to Dr. Hackenbush's sanitarium, Palmville, Florida, Tony writes, come up, and now a sign. Dr. Hackenbush's sanitarium for small animals and horses.
Inhale. Exhale. Inhale.
In a room, animals sit in wire cages. A man with a cigar in his mouth holds a stethoscope to a horse's chest. An older man enters.
Here's a telegram for you, Doc.
What does it say?
Well, it goes on to say that... How should I know?
Come up and take care of Mrs. Upjohn. Stop. You can write your own ticket. Stop. Come at once. Standish Sanitarium. Mrs. Upjohn. Ah, Emily. She never forgot that hayride.
Don't Mrs. Upjohn know you're a vet?
No. She's so in love with me, she doesn't know anything. That's why she's in love with me.
Well, they can throw a horse doctor in jail for treating people.
Yes, they can throw a horse doctor in jail for not paying his rent, too.
Something there.
So sure. What have I got to...
Dr. Hackenbush struggles with his coat. One arm jams in the sleeve. The older man slides a squirming puppy out of the sleeve. The bespectacled doctor shoots him a look and heads for the door. He rushes back to his patient. Searching through his medical bag, he pulls out a pill the size of a ping pong ball. He feeds it to the horse.
Take one of those every half mile and call me if there's any change.
He picks up his bag and heads out. Now at the sanitarium.
But Mr. Morgan, if I sign this, it means I turn the sanitarium over to you today.
That's right, Miss Standish, and I'll give you $5,000.
But the notes aren't due. I've got almost a month.
Miss Standish, this place has been losing money steadily. You'll never be able to pay. If you wait, I'll take it over and you won't get a cent.
As your business manager, Judy, I strongly advise you to take Mr. Morgan's offer.
But you're forgetting about that doctor Mrs. Upjohn recommended. Surely with him in charge, we'll be able to pay Mr. Morgan.
Judy, are you going to take the advice of a hysterical patient?
Now look here, Miss Stanley.
Judy! Judy, he's here! He's here!
Why, who's here?
Dr. Hackenbush!
Are you going to sign that or not?
No.
Of course she's not going to sign it.
Well, I have a month. I can at least try this new doctor.
You're going to wish you'd taken that check.
Wait.
Mr. Morgan.
Whitmore follows him.
You fixed that all right.
How did I know that old Battle Axe was going to butt in? But don't worry. I'll get to work on this new doctor.
Work fast.
Don't let them bully you, my dear. With Dr. Hackenbush in charge, I'm sure my trustees will let me help you.
Mrs. Upjohn, I think I'm better able to advise
you. I don't want to hear any more about it. Oh, I can't stand this excitement. I know this will cause a relapse. Oh, my metabolism, doctor! Oh,
Hackenbush enters with a squatting stride and hands Whitmore his bags.
Here, boy.
Here, boy, take these bags and run up to my room, and here's a dime for yourself.
Oh, no, 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 no. This is Mr. Whitmore, our business manager.
Oh, I'm terribly sorry. Here's a quarter.
Oh, you mustn't take the doctor too seriously. He probably feels tired after his long trip.
Why shouldn't I be tired? Did you ever ride four on a motorcycle? And me, top man.
Oh, this is Dr. Hugo Z. Hackenbush, your new chief of staff.
They exchange bows. Hackenbush bows again.
Now, doctor, I'd like you to meet Miss Standish.
He keeps bowing.
Oh, doctor.
Still bowing.
Doctor.
Just a moment while I calm these paralytics.
Oh, dear. Doctor. Doctor, this is Miss Standish, owner of the sanitarium. Oh.
How do you do, Miss Standish?
How do you do?
You're the prettiest owner of a sanitarium I've ever seen.
Thank you.
You have a charming place here. Ah! I knew your mother very well.
He points to a painting.
I'll let you in on a little secret. Many, many years ago, in the dear, dim past, I proposed to your mother.
But that's my father.
No wonder he turned me down.
Now, Doctor, I'd like you to meet your new associate.
Johnson, Bellevue Hospital, 1918.
Franco, Johns Hopkins, 22.
Wilmerding, Mayo Brothers, 24.
Dodge Brothers, late 29.
Doctor, I'm happy to welcome you as chief of staff. I hope you'll be able to pull the sanitarium out of its difficulties.
Oh, the sanitarium's having a little financial trouble.
I get it. I'm not going to get paid.
Oh, dear.
Well, so long, boys.
He makes for the door.
Oh, no, no, no. Doctor, please don't go. I'll take care of your salary.
Oh, yeah? The last job I had to take it out in trade. And this is no butcher shop. Not yet, anyhow.
Whitmore.
Judy, it seems to me, if I may say so, we are making rather a hasty decision.
Surely you don't question the doctor's ability.
No, not exactly. But running a sanitarium calls for a man with peculiar talents.
You don't have to look any further. I've got the most peculiar talents of any doctor you ever met.
I'm satisfied with Mrs. Upjohn's recommendations. If you'll excuse me, I'll go and bring in the rest of the staff.
Why don't you go out and bring in something? Preferably your resignation.
Tell me, Dr. Hackenbush, just what was your medical background?
Medically?
Yes.
Well, at the age of 15, I got a job in a drugstore filling prescriptions.
Don't you have to be 21 to fill prescriptions?
Well, that's for grown-ups. I just filled them for children.
He lifts his brows.
No, no, doctor. I mean, where did you get your training as a physician?
Oh, well, to begin with, I took 4 years at Vassar.
Vassar? But that's a girls' college.
I found that out the third year. I'd have been there yet, but I went out for the swimming team.
The doctor seems reluctant to discuss his medical experiences.
Well, medically, my experiences have been most unexciting, except during the flu epidemic.
Ah, and what happened?
I got the flu.
Oh, doctor, I think it's time for my pill.
Ixnay on the ilpray.
Now, you told me to take them regularly.
As Whitmore eyes him, Hackenbush turns his back and sneaks one of his large pills to Mrs. Upjohn.
Just a minute, Mrs. Upjohn. That looks like a horse pill to me.
Oh, you've taken them before.
Are you sure, doctor, you haven't made a mistake?
You have nothing to worry about. The last patient I gave one of those to won the Kentucky Derby.
May I examine this, please? Do you actually give those to your patients? Isn't that awfully large for a pill?
Well, it was too small for a basketball, and I didn't know what to do with it. Say, you're awfully large for a pill yourself.
Dr. Wilmerding, just what is your opinion?
It must take a lot of water to swallow that.
Nonsense. You can swallow that with 5 gallons.
Isn't that a lot of water for a patient to take?
Not if the patient has a bridge in her mouth. You see, the water flows under the bridge, and the patient walks over the bridge and meets the pill on the other side.
So it's war! I'm off to the battlefield!
No, no, doctor, that's from the racetrack.
Racetrack? Well, what am I doing here?
Oh, doctor, don't leave me!
Now at a crowded racetrack. In an upper box, Whitmore and Mr. Morgan watch a horse race on the track.
When you want it, Snuffy.
A blonde, curly-haired jockey gapes. Mr. Morgan storms away. Now in a stable.
Nice work, Snuffy!
The blonde jockey grins. Mr. Morgan walks up and boots him in the rear.
I told you to lose that way.
Morgan punches, but Stuffy ducks and runs out. He shuts the door. He locks the bottom of the Dutch door, but Morgan swings open the top. Stuffy dashes through the stables and hides in Gill's stall under the hay.
Stuffy, where are you? Where's Stuffy? You see my over, jockey.
Oh, boy. Please, Mr. Morgan, don't stay here.
You ought to beat the head off that ornery devil.
Gil's horse bucks.
Well, he only acts this way when he sees or hears you.
As Morgan walks away, Stuffy sticks out his leg and kicks him.
I should have plugged that knife when I owned it.
Oh, please, Mr. Morgan, don't stay here.
Morgan leaves.
Calm down. Now, he's gone now. That's a boy.
Stuffy jumps out of the hay.
You better stay out of Morgan's way for a while.
Get your ice cream. Get your tootsie frootsie ice cream.
Tony pushes an ice cream cart.
Stuffy! Hey, get out of there. Hey, that was a sum ride you put up. I had $5 right on the nose. I wanted 60 cents. Who are you riding tomorrow? What's the matter? What happened?
Stuffy lights a match.
You fired? Oh, Morgan fired you, huh? He wanted you to throw the race.
Wanted Stuffy to be crooked, eh?
Yeah, you know he's honest.
Stuffy peeks in the cart.
He's honest, but you gotta watch him a little. Hey, Gil, why don't you give a Stuffy a job? Let him ride high hat.
Why, Tony, you know we can't afford a jockey. We haven't enough money to eat on ourselves.
Eat all the time, eat. We don't have to eat. I'll eat.
Hey, you. Hello, Sheriff.
Well, have you got the money for the feed bill?
Well, you see, Sheriff, it's this
way. Hey, listen, you guys have been stalling me for weeks. Either I get some money on account right now or I'm taking high half.
Hey, wait. I give you some money. Here you are.
$5. That's not enough.
The sheriff slides the bill into his pants pocket. Right, Stuffy steals it and hands it back to Tony.
Here you are.
That makes 10.
The sheriff pockets the same bill.
Some more?
Yeah, I got some more, but it's hard to get at, you know?
The sheriff's hand blocks the bill. Stuffy tickles the sheriff's ear, and the sheriff moves his hand to scratch.
Hey, I knew it was someplace.
Well, that's 15. Yeah. Have you got any more?
He puts the bill in his vest.
I'll let you know in a minute.
Stuffy searches in the sheriff's pants.
All right, I got some more, but I can't hurry. Hey, what are you doing?
Stuffy's entire arm is in the sheriff's pant leg. The sheriff yanks it out, and Stuffy holds up the sheriff's sock. Stuffy takes off.
Here, come back here. Well, that's a fine. Now we owe the sheriff $120 and a sock.
Yeah. Well, it's a good thing Julie doesn't have to depend on me. I can't even hold on to the horse.
No? Well, we hold on to the horse.
Tony and Gil shut and lock the stall door.
Say, we only had some dough. I got a tip on Sunup.
Sunup?
Yeah.
He's in the next race. We don't got much time.
Hey, wait a minute. What are we going to use for money?
Tony rolls his cart under the belly of a horse. Now at the track's betting windows.
Oh, hey, boy, look. Sunup, he's a 10-1. Oh, boy, are we going to clean up. 10-1.
We haven't any money to bet.
Don't worry, I get us some money. I find a sucker someplace. Scram, I think I see a sucker coming now. Get at it. Get your ice cream.
Dr. Hackenbush steps up to a betting window. Tony, with cart in tow, tugs the doctor's jacket.
$2 on Sunup.
Hey, boss, come here. You want us something hot?
Not now, I just had lunch. Anyhow, I don't like hot ice cream.
Hey, come here. I no sell ice cream. That's a fake of the fool of the police. I sell a tips on the horses. I got us something that they can't lose, $1.
No, some other time. I'm sorry, I'm betting on Sunup. Some other time, huh?
Hey,
$2 on Sunup.
Hey, come here. Sunup is the worst horse on the track.
I notice he wins all the time.
All right, just because he comes in first.
Well, I don't want him any better than first. $2 on Sunup.
Hey, boss, come here. Suppose you bet on Sunup. What are you going to get up for your money? 2-1. $1 and you'll remember me all your life.
That's the most nauseating proposition I ever had.
Come on. You look like a sport. Come on, boss. Don't be a grunger for $1.
Tony holds out an envelope. Hackenbush hands him a crumpled bill in exchange.
Thank you. What's this?
That's the horse.
How'd he get in here?
Get your ice cream.
Hackenbush opens the envelope and reads.
ZVBXRPL.
Get your
I had that same horse when I had my eyes examined.
Get your
Hey, ice cream. What about this optical illusion you just slipped me? I don't understand it.
Well, that's not the real name of the horse. That's the name of the horse in code. Look in your code book.
What do you mean, code?
Yeah, look in the code book. That'll tell you what horse you got.
Well, I haven't got any code book.
You know, got a code book?
You know where I can get one?
Well, just by accident, I think I got one right here. Here you are.
Tony takes a book from his cart.
How much is it?
That's a free.
Oh, thanks.
Just a $1 printing charge.
Well, give me one without printing, huh? I'm sick of printing.
Oh, come on. You want to win?
Yes, sure. Of course I want to win.
Well, then you got to have this.
Want to win, but I don't want the savings of a lifetime wiped out in the twinkling of an eye.
He tries to conceal a wad of bills as Tony peeks over his shoulder.
Here.
Thank you very much. Ice cream.
ZVBXRPL, page 34.
Hackenbush flips through the book.
Hey, ice cream. I can't make head or tail out of this.
Oh, that's all right. Look in the master code book. That'll tell you where to look.
Master code? I haven't got any master code book.
You don't got a master code book?
No. Do you know where I can get one?
Well, just by accident, I think I got one right here. There you are.
A lot of quick accidents around here for a quiet neighborhood. Just a minute. Is there a printing charge on this?
No.
Oh, thanks.
Just a $2 delivery charge.
What do you mean, delivery charge? I'm standing right next to you.
Well, for such a short distance, I make it $1.
Hackenbush sidles closer.
Couldn't I move over here and make it 50 cents?
Yes, but I'd move over here and make it $1 just the same.
Say, maybe I better open a charge account, huh?
You got some references?
Well, the only one I know around here is you.
That's no good. You'll have to pay cash.
You know, a little while ago, I could have put $2 on sunup and avoided all this.
Yeah, no, throw your money away. Thank you very much.
Now I'm all set, huh?
Yes, giddy a tootsie-frootsie ice cream.
Hackenbush stuffs the first book under his arm. Chewing on his cigar, he opens up the second book. He removes his cigar.
ZVBXRPL. The letter Z stands for J unless the horse is a filly. Hey, tootsie-frootsie, is the horse a filly?
I don't know. Look in your breeder's guide.
Hackenbush's wide eyes bug.
What do you mean, breeder's guide? I haven't got any breeder's guide.
You haven't got a breeder's guide?
Shh, not so loud. I don't want it to get around that I haven't got a breeder's guide. Even my best friends don't know I haven't got a breeder's guide.
Well, boss, I feel pretty sorry for you walking around without a breeder's guide. Why, you're just throwing your money away buying those other books without a breeder's guide.
Tony stands staring. Hackenbush shifts his feet, then leans forward and looks around. He glances sidelong at Tony.
Where can I get one as though I didn't know?
One is no good. You have to have the whole set. Give your tootsie-frootsie.
Hey, you know, all I wanted was a horse, not a public library. What do you mean? How much is a set?
$1.
$1?
Yeah, 4 for $5.
Well, all right. I'll give me the 4 of them. There's no use throwing away money, eh?
All right.
This is all I'm buying, too. I didn't want so much.
As Hackenbush struggles with a pile of books, Tony sneaks over to a betting window.
$6 on sunup. Read
it good.
Hackenbush opens one of his new books.
ZVBXRPL is Bynes.
Yeah, that's all right. That's
right. Bynes?
Yes. Yeah, someday the code gives you the name of the jockey instead of the horse. Now you find out who Jockey Bynes is riding, and that's the horse you bet on. That's easy.
Hackenbush raises his thick eyebrows.
Oh, I'm getting the idea of it. I didn't get it for a long time,
just
you know.
Open the book.
It's pretty tricky when you don't know it, isn't it, huh?
It's not that book.
Huh?
It's not that book.
It's not that book.
He opens another.
Oh, I see.
No, it's not that book.
Huh?
Not that book.
Hackenbush shoves the book between his knees, then grabs two held by his thighs.
No, it's not that book.
He puts that one under his arm.
No, you haven't got that book.
Hackenbush shoots Tony a withering look.
You've got it, huh?
Their heads bob in slow nods, their eyes locked in a stare.
I'll get it in a minute, though, won't I?
Giddy a tootsie-frootsie.
Hackenbush glares at Tony.
I'm getting a fine tootsie-frootsie-ing right here.
Giddy your ice cream.
Tony rolls his cart closer.
How much is it?
$1.
And it's the last book I'm buying.
Sure, you don't need no more. Here.
Yeah. Well, here's a $10 bill and shoot the change, will you? They're going to the post, huh?
I got no change. I'll have to give you 9 more books.
Tony stacks a pile of books on his cart.
Nine more? Yeah. Say, you don't handle any bookcases
well,
there, do you?
You're coming tomorrow, Kenny.
I didn't know that you needed so
it's
much.
All right.
Tony heaps half the pile into Hackenbush's arms.
Open.
He squeezes a stack between the doctor's knees.
Close. That's it. Nice.
Good thing I brought my legs with me, eh?
Yeah.
Now, tell me, what horse have I got?
I'll
hurry
find
up, will you?
Here it is, right
I just heard the fellow blowing his horn.
Here it is, here. Jockey Bynes, 152, That's Rosie.
Rosie, yeah?
Look, oh boy, look, 40 to 1.
40 to 1.
Oh, huh? What a horse, Rosie.
Am I going to give that bookie a whipping? Oh, I was going to bet on Sunup at 10 to 1.
He waddles over to the window.
Give him a two. Hey there, big boy. $2 on Rosie, huh?
Sorry, that race is over.
Huh?
I say the race is over.
Over? Who won?
Sunup.
Sunup! That's to my horse, Sunup.
Tony runs to collect his money.
Sunup, goodbye, boss. Goodbye, Sunup. But then, 30, Sunup.
Hackenbush stares after him, then dumps his books into the ice cream cart.
Cherry, a tutti frutti, an ice cream, an ice, a tutti frutti, ice cream.
Now at the sanitarium.
Oh, Miss Standish.
Yes?
These calls came for you while you were out.
Oh, thank you.
Judy flips through 4 messages from Gil. Her mouth set, she tears them in half, then tosses them in the trash.
Hello? Mr. Stewart?
I'm still out.
I'm sorry, Miss Standish is still out.
The operator takes another call.
Yes, Mr. Whitmore?
What about that call to the Florida Medical Board? Huh? Well, keep on trying.
Morgan listens.
Call me the moment you get it.
That's great. You can't even get any action out of your own telephone operator.
Don't worry. I'll get the dope on that Florida quack.
Now listen, Whitmore. I want to turn this place into a gambling casino before the season ends. With my racetrack, my nightclub, and this, I'll have every sucker in America flocking here. But every day counts.
I'll let you know the moment I get the call.
I'll be waiting.
In the lobby.
Doctor, may I have one of your photographs?
Why, I haven't one. I can let you have my footprints, but they're upstairs in my socks.
Now, I want to announce your association with the sanitarium. We'll send your picture to all the papers.
The Florida papers?
Yes. Be wonderful publicity.
Publicity? Oh, we mustn't have any of that, Miss Standish. You know, the ethics of my profession.
But we have to get new patients.
Well, after all, the old patients were good enough for your father. Besides, who wants to see my picture? I'm not a famous man. I'm just a simple country doctor with horse sense.
Oh, you're too modest. Never mind, we'll forget about the pictures. And, Doctor, remember, I'm counting on you. The success of the sanitarium's in your hands.
Hackenbush lowers his gaze. Mm.
Look, Miss Standish, suppose I were to tell you that I'm not the doctor you think I am.
Well, you're the only one that can help me. And do be nice to Mrs. Upjohn, won't you?
Well, she's not exactly my type, but for you, I'd make love to a crocodile.
Silly.
She leaves, and Hackenbush hurries to the operator.
Have the flower send some roses to Mrs. Upjohn, and write Emily, I love you on the back of the bill.
Oh, just a moment, Dr. Hackenbush.
On the phone.
Yes, Mr. Whitmore. No, I haven't been able to get that call through to the Florida Medical Board.
Well, I'm doing the best I can. It ought to be here any minute.
That calls what I think of this. You can cancel those roses and make it lilies for me.
He dashes into a nearby office and picks up the phone.
Get me Mr. Whitmore.
The screen splits in half. As Whitmore picks up the phone, Hackenbush pinches his nose.
Here's your Florida call, Mr. Whitmore.
All right. Hello.
Hackenbush bats his eyes.
Florida Medical Board, good morning.
I'd like to talk to the man in charge of the records, please.
Record department. Just a moment, sugar.
Hackenbush changes his voice.
Record department? Colonel Hawkins talking.
Colonel Hawkins, did you get a wire from me regarding Dr. Hackenbush?
I'm sorry, sir, but there's a hurricane blowing down here, and you'll have to talk a little louder.
He pokes a sheet of paper into a fan.
We ever did have.
Well, it's sunny and windy.
Whitmore frowns.
I want to know about Dr. Hackenbush.
Hackenbush covers the phone, then kicks on an intercom.
Yes? Whitmore, you ought to cut out that squawking. The patients are all complaining.
Back on the phone.
And I hope, sir, that's the information that you require.
I'm sorry, Colonel. I didn't hear it. I was called to the dictograph.
What was that you said, sir?
I was called to the dictograph.
Hackenbush hits the intercom. Still on the phone, Whitmore runs to answer.
Whitmore, one more yelp out of you, and I'll have you bounced out of here.
And I trust, sir, that answers your question.
I'm terribly sorry, Colonel. I didn't hear you.
I can't hear you. You'll have to talk a little louder.
I want to find out something about Hackenbush.
Whitmore rushes to the intercom.
Well, what is it now?
Whitmore, that's the last time I'm going to warn you about that yowling.
And in conclusion, let me say...
I'm sorry, Colonel. What was that you said about Hackenbush?
You mean Dr. Hackenbush? Oh, no, he's not here.
I know he's not there. He's here.
Then what are you bothering me for, Yankee?
Hackenbush glares at the phone, then pinches his nose.
Here's your Florida call, Mr. Whitmore.
Operator, will you get off the line? Hello, hello, Colonel.
Yes?
Are you sure you're speaking of Dr. Hugo C. Hackenbush?
Who? Hugo Z. Hackenbush.
Who's calling him?
The Standish Sanitarium.
Yeah, that's where he works. Hey, I understand he's doing a mighty fine job up there.
I want to get some information regarding his qualifications for the job.
What job?
As head of the sanitarium.
Who?
Hackenbush!
Whitmore races to the intercom.
Whitmore, are you calling me?
No, you sap!
He speaks into the phone again.
Hello.
Yes, now what was that name?
Hackenbush.
Hackenbush!
Uh-huh. Well, as soon as he comes in, I'll have him get in touch with you.
Whitmore slams down the phone and storms out. Stuffy and Tony peer in a nearby window.
Hey, you see that sourpuss? That's a Whitmore, the man you gotta watch. You see, he's no good. He's in it with Morgan, and I think they're trying to get the sanitarium away from Miss Judy.
Stuffy tumbles through the window and starts after Whitmore with a cane.
Hey, no. You're not gonna fight him. You're gonna watch him. You gotta watch him like a hawk.
Stuffy points to his eyes and rushes to the door.
Oh, not so fast. Now look, first I gotta get you in here as a patient, or else the Whitmores are gonna get wise to you. Come on, I'll take you to the doctor.
Stuffy bolts toward the window.
Stuffy, hey, come here. Hey, he won't hurt you.
He makes a sawing motion.
Oh, come here. This fella's a nicer doctor. You're hungry, eh?
Stuffy nods.
You want some ice cream? You want a nice big steak with spinach? All right, no spinach. Apple pie and a beautiful noises. Oh, baby, come on, you're going to get a noise. Come on.
In an examination room.
Have you seen Dr. Hackenbush?
No, I haven't, Doctor.
I'll go and find him right away. Mrs. Upjohn wants him.
Yes, what's the matter with Mrs. Upjohn?
Nothing. In its most violent form.
The staff stares as an orderly pushes in a wheelchair with Dr. Hackenbush in it. He stands.
Pick me up at 5.
Yes, sir.
Hackenbush sits at his desk, dressed in short sleeves and a lab coat.
Doctor, may I have an okay on this, please?
I'm too busy right now. I'll tell you what, I'll put the O on now and come back later for the K.
Dr. Hackenbush.
A little later. Get me the Turkish bath.
Yes.
Dr. Hackenbush, Mrs. Upjohn is complaining again, and these x-rays show absolutely nothing wrong with her.
Is that so? Who are you going to believe, me or those crooked x-rays?
Doctor, the Turkish bath.
She hands him the phone.
Hello? Gus, will you look in the steam room and see my frankfurters are done? That'll be all. I have some important research.
They all leave.
No.
Hackenbush shuffles some papers on his desk, then sits and opens a drawer. He pulls out a newspaper with the title Racing Chart. Leaning back in his chair, he props his feet on the desk and starts to read. Tony enters and peers over the newspaper.
Excuse me.
Tony springs back.
Oh, so you're the doctor.
Yeah, remember me? I used to be in the book business.
He steps menacingly forward.
I got some good news for you.
Yeah? What are the odds?
No, it's no horse. I got a patient for you.
Oh, a patient?
Yeah.
Oh, fine. What size?
Stuffy dances in, playing a flute. Hackenbush snags him by the waist and wrestles him into a chair.
Just sit quietly. That's it.
So, doctor.
The doctor grabs a pocket watch and pushes up Stuffy's sleeve, and the patient's eyes widen. Holding his fingers to Stuffy's wrist, Hackenbush looks down at his watch. He looks closer.
Either he's dead or my watch has stopped.
He sets down the watch.
He's a good doctor. Knows his business.
Hackenbush shakes a thermometer, then holds it up to the light.
Goodbye forever. Goodbye forever.
Singing, doctor.
Here you are.
Stuffy pushes the thermometer away. He shakes his head wildly, his lips pressed together.
Just flip this under your flapper. That a boy.
He rests the thermometer in Stuffy's mouth. Stuffy starts to chew it. The rest of the thermometer disappears into Stuffy's mouth. He smiles at Tony, who looks worriedly at the doctor.
Well, the temperature sighting went down fast.
Stuffy grabs a jar labeled poison.
Hey, don't drink that poison. That's $4 an ounce.
He snatches it away.
I think we better put him to bed, Doc. He looks awfully sick today. Better get him a nurse, too.
Hackenbush puts on a head mirror, then kneels and peers at Stuffy. Stuffy jumps up.
Come on.
Now take it easy, will you?
He rolls up Stuffy's pants and taps on his leg.
For years, this fellow.
Doctor, longer than you've been a patient, I'll tell you that.
Stuffy jumps on his back.
Come here.
Tony pulls him off.
What do you think, he's going to play with you?
Hackenbush studies Stuffy's face through his mirror. Stuffy stares back into it.
Now, don't look at me. Let me look at you, eh?
Cross-eyed, Stuffy shakes his head. He peers into the mirror.
No. Don't look at me. What do you think I am, a peep show? Get away there, will
you? He pushes Stuffy's head away, then examines his neck.
It's rather a strange-looking sight.
Yeah, it's serious, huh, Doc?
I haven't seen anything like this in years. The last time I saw a head like that was in a bottle of formaldehyde.
I told you he was sick.
That's all pure desiccation along there. He's got about a 15% metabolism with an overactive thyroid and a glandular affectation of about 3%.
That's bad, huh?
With a 1% mentality.
Stuffy grins.
He's what we designate as the crummy moronic type.
His grin fades.
All in all, this is the most gruesome looking piece of blubber I've ever peered at.
Hey, Doc! Hey, Doc!
Huh?
You got it, the looking glass turned around. You're looking at yourself.
Huh? I knew it all the time. That was a good joke on all of us, wasn't it?
Hackenbush dances a little jig.
Let's do it again sometime, huh?
His face grows serious. Then he leans over Stuffy.
Say, louder.
Stuffy's mouth opens wider.
Louder!
Hackenbush starts for the door.
Hey, Doc, where you going?
I'm going to the ear doctor. I'm deaf.
Oh, come on back. That's not you. It's him.
Come on. Sometimes I'm not sure who's getting the examination here.
He puts one hand on Stuffy's chest.
Take it easy now, huh?
Crouching, he presses on Stuffy's chest, then on his belly. Stuffy blows a balloon. He sucks the balloon back into his mouth. Hackenbush rolls his eyes.
Say, am I stewed or did a grapefruit just fly past?
I don't see nothing.
Hackenbush presses three times on Stuffy's chest. With each push, Stuffy's eyes whiten. Out pops the balloon. Hackenbush whips his head up, then glances around the room.
If that's his Adam's apple, he's got yellow fever.
He's got ingrown balloons.
Yes, huh? Well, we'll soon find out.
He presses on Stuffy's chest. As Stuffy blows the balloon, Hackenbush glances up. He and Tony grab Stuffy's neck.
Hold that like it a rock now, will you?
Look, he's got a blister on his tongue.
Is that what it is?
Yeah, I think he's a Ubangi.
Well, I'll get the hammer and Ubangi that right off.
He turns away and Stuffy bends over. Hackenbush looks at his head.
And, it's grown considerably, hasn't it, eh?
He pats Stuffy's head.
What's that hairy fungus all over it?
Some fungus, eh, Doc?
Not a great deal, no.
Hey, you're making a mistake. That's his head.
Well, if that's his head, he's making a mistake, not me.
Hackenbush turns away. He looks back.
I can't do anything for him. That's a case for Frank Buck.
All right, put him in the room till Frank Buck gets here.
Oh, fine. Shall we say a 50-buck room, or would you prefer something better?
We'll take something better.
Oh, that would be nice.
Yeah, but we'll talk about the money tomorrow.
Oh, no. Money on the line or out you go.
Tony grabs the watch off the doctor's desk.
To Dr. Hugo Z. Hackenbush for saving my horse.
Here, give me that. Come here with that watch.
You, a horse doctor?
Shh, a little easy with that talk.
A horse doctor?
Don't mention that word around here.
Hey, that's terrible. I'm going to tell Miss Judy quick. No, that's no good. Miss Judy, she's depending on you. A horse doctor.
Now listen, boys, I admit it. You've caught me with my coat down. Well, it's been nice knowing you.
Oh, no, you don't. Oh, no.
Now, let's get together on this. I'm open to any kind of a proposition.
All right. You stick on to this job. You make a Mrs. Upjohn happy, or we're going to have you thrown in jail.
Well, that doesn't leave me much choice, does it?
Behind them, Stuffy plays with a hypodermic needle. He sucks up some liquid from a bottle labeled Covacaine, then injects it into Hackenbush's foot. Hackenbush stands.
I hate to admit it, but I haven't got a leg to stand on. Now, let's... Hey, wait a minute!
His foot slides out from under him.
No, get it around, Stuffy.
No, whip it around the other way.
Stuffy twists the doctor's legs.
You know what we're doing.
Okay. Say, for a while, I thought I wasn't going to be able to walk again.
Hey, look, I got it, too.
Hackenbush shuffles out, his left leg twisted behind the right. Tony and Stuffy follow in kind. Now, at the deserted racetrack, Gil watches a horse. He clicks a stopwatch and shakes his head. Tony runs up.
144, that's bad.
You think that's bad? I know something worse than that. Did Stuffy tell you?
Tell me what?
Hackenbush, he's a horse doctor.
What?
Sure. Here, ask Stuffy.
A horse doctor?
Stuffy nods.
Does anyone else know about this?
Only Hackenbush. And he won't talk.
It's bound to get out sooner or later. There must be something we can do to help Judy.
Yes, I had. You gotta win a race and then make us a plenty of money.
Stuffy rubs his own belly.
Stuffy's all right. Hi-Hat's are too hungry to run.
Oh, I can take care of that. I'm going to get paid extra for singing at the water carnival tonight.
Oh, that's fine. You sing, I sell her some more books, and the stuff that he's going to put, I had to bed.
Okay, boys. I've got to go to rehearsal. See you later.
All right.
Gil leaves.
Hey, you.
Hello, Sheriff.
I thought I told you guys not to take this horse out of the stable until I got the rest of my dough.
We didn't take him out. He walked out, and we followed him.
Well, I warned you. Now I'm taking the nag.
Hey, Sheriff, you can't take that horse. We're just getting him in condition. How are we going to win the money to pay the feed bill?
That don't mean a thing to me. I'm going to put him where nobody will take him out.
The sheriff grabs the dark horse by the bridle and leads him away. Behind his back, Stuffy and Tony sneak alongside Hi-Hat. Tony pulls off the horse's bridle. Now, instead of the horse, Stuffy walks behind the sheriff, the bridle on his head. As Stuffy slows to look back, the sheriff turns and sees him. Stuffy scrams, and the sheriff gives chase. Stuffy leaps onto Hi-Hat behind Tony. The two ride off. The sheriff shakes his fist. Now the picture is tinted in icy blue. A program reads, tonight, Gala Winter Carnival. Sparkling Springs Lake, dining, dancing, entertainment. Inside the program, two photos show Gil Stewart, tenor, and a dancer, Vivian Fay, and her ballet. Now at the lake, men and women in evening wear sit at lakeside tables and in boats shaped like seashells. A large fountain in the lake dissolves into mist, revealing Gil and six women in a gondola.
From a regret. Tonight, say goodbye to every sigh we...
At a table, Hackenbush leans close to Judy.
Didn't get you, so he took six other girls.
Gil's eyes search the crowd, and he smiles at Judy. She quickly drops her dreamy gaze, then peeks at him. Coyly, she looks away.
You and I will drift upon a blue. How lovely it will seem. Starlight tumbling down, you shall wear as a silver crown for your hair.
Judy sneaks a look at Gil. Tiny white flowers nestle in her dark hair, framing her delicate features. She gently purses her lips.
Your eyes will tell me secrets, your lips dare not sigh. While I'm singing a love song of love dreams come true, a blue Venetian waters, and you.
Behind the gondola, an inner fountain evaporates, revealing the lake's facing bank and a stage on the water. 30 ballerinas in flowing white skirts flit onto the stage from arched bridges. The dancers twirl, then move in wide circles around the stage, holding the hems of their sparkling skirts with outstretched hands. They sway forward, then lean back and kick out their legs. The circles join into five rows. The dancers sweep their arms over their heads, their skirts spreading like wings. The rows scatter, and a circle of six takes center stage. Arms above their heads, the dancers spin toward a mariachi band. A dancer's gossamer skirts fill our view. The skirts fall away like a curtain, revealing one ballerina, Vivian Fay. She poses by a silvery tree as white petals fall around her. Smiling, she weaves her arms and fingers in the air, then rises to her toes and glides across the grass in delicate leaps. Moving up a small bridge, at the top she flings up her arms. Her skirt billows around her. She descends the bridge with dainty steps. On stage, a line of ballerinas flanks her on either side. The prima ballerina wears a shimmering bodice and dark sheer skirt, her blonde hair short and curled. The other dancers pose motionless behind the lead ballerina. She twirls to the music, lifting one leg behind her, then extending it forward. Tony and Stuffy watch from a diving board, smiling. As the ballerina pivots across center stage, the other dancers strike dramatic poses. Up on her toes, she pirouettes, then daintily steps back. On toe, she holds one arm curved in front of her waist, the other behind. She delicately weaves them back and forth. Again, the ballerina twirls and leaps, her dark skirt swirling around her. Our view shifts to a group of female singers. They wear frilly dresses and lounge on a hill by the water's edge.
When you're singing a love song, your love brings content.
On stage, the ballerina smiles angelically, a distant look in her eyes. Her hands caress the air around her face in smooth, wave-like motions. She stretches her arms wide. On toe, the ballerina crosses the stage in a series of pirouettes. Behind her, thin-limbed trees stand on the grassy bank. Two large white arches rise above the stage, their half-circles reflected in the still water below. As she spins on one leg, the ballerina bends the other under her sheer skirt, then extends it. Still on the same leg, she begins to twirl faster. Whirling across the stage with lilting steps, the ballerina rises up on both slippers. Her dark skirt spins out from her lithe body as she makes tighter and tighter circles. Arms raised in a neat oval, the ballerina propels her spinning form across the stage. She sweeps past the other dancers, posed on the stage floor. Center stage, she lowers her arms at last and twirls forward. Radiant, she stops and throws out her arms. Judy, Mrs. Upjohn, and Dr. Hackenbush sit together in a boat. As the women applaud, Hackenbush shares a look with a sexy blonde.
Isn't it beautiful?
It's the prettiest number I've ever seen.
Grinning widely, Hackenbush climbs out of the boat on all fours.
Oh, Hugo, it's so impressive.
She looks over.
Now, the idea.
She leaves, and Judy jumps up.
Oh, no, Judy, wait a minute.
Gil grabs her arm.
Look, I want to talk to you. It's about Hackenbush. You can't depend on him.
Mrs. Upjohn is perfectly satisfied with Dr. Hackenbush, and that's all that matters. As a matter of fact, she may take over the notes tomorrow.
Oh. Well, I guess everything's all right.
Yes.
Nothing to worry about, is it?
No, not a thing. Except that horse of yours.
Now, wait a minute. That horse is all right. He's in the pink. Why, today he ran the mile in 1:36. That horse is going places.
Oh, that's wonderful. I wish you luck.
Thanks. I'm sorry I bothered you.
It's all right.
She glances coolly over the lake.
Well, now, Judy.
He kneels beside her.
I'm the biggest liar in 7 states. He isn't all right, and he isn't in the pink. It was 1:44 instead of 1:36. And the only place he'll ever go is where the sheriff takes him.
You can't possibly mean High Hat.
She smirks.
There's only one horse in my stable. Come on. Let me have the rest of it.
The only thing I'm going to say is this, Gil. Don't ever let a horse come between us again.
Tony and Stuffy look on from the diving board.
She loves him. Everything is going to be all right now.
Now couples dance on the stage. Partnered with Mrs. Upjohn, Hackenbush spots the sexy blonde. He motions to her, and she steps onto the dance floor. Hackenbush squinches his mouth.
Here's your partner!
He spins Mrs. Upjohn, then lets her go. As she teeters into another couple, he shimmies over to the blonde. They dance around each other and stamp their feet. The blonde sashays around Hackenbush. He yanks out a bandana and pulls it back and forth across his swinging backside. Mrs. Upjohn glares at him.
Hugo, I'm surprised at you.
Oh, you didn't know I could rumble.
He dances with her. Grinning beneath his grease paint mustache, Hackenbush nods eagerly at the blonde nearby.
Rachel Parker!
He whirls Mrs. Upjohn into the crowd and dashes over to the blonde. He dips her, then spins her awkwardly across the dance floor. Side by side, they dance in a tight circle with mincing steps. Mrs. Upjohn frowns. Hackenbush glides back to her.
How would you like me to dance away from you?
I'd be satisfied if you dance off my feet.
Stumbling, Hackenbush grips Mrs. Upjohn's ample form. He wiggles his eyebrows at the blonde, and she throws him a coy glance. Hackenbush spins Mrs. Upjohn, ducks under her arm, then sneaks over to the blonde. In the middle of the dance floor, they start to Charleston. They kick their feet and wildly swing their arms. Smiling couples stop to watch. Hackenbush pulls the blonde closer, and they spin in fast circles. Hackenbush spins away and lurches across the floor. He grabs Mrs. Upjohn and dances dizzily with her.
Hugo, I'm disappointed in you. To think of your dancing with that strange woman.
Well, don't think of it. Think of me dancing with you.
She turns her cheek. Over Mrs. Upjohn's shoulder, Hackenbush talks to the blonde several feet away.
I'm crazy about you. Nothing will ever come between us again.
Both women smile.
You don't know how lonely I get night after night in my little room at the sanitarium. Room 412.
Perhaps I could come in and say goodnight to you.
Yes, we could have a midnight snack.
Hackenbush nods at the blonde.
Why, Hugo!
Oh, you would stay up until midnight. That's the way you follow doctor's orders.
Oh,
you know you're supposed to be in bed by 10 o'clock, 12 o'clock!
The blonde nods at him as he hustles Mrs. Upjohn away. Now the sheriff lunges after Tony and Stuffy. He falls into the water. Tony and Stuffy rush down a staircase marked Musician's Entrance. A man grabs the sheriff.
Listen, we mustn't have any disturbance here tonight.
Stuffy and Tony are on the bandstand.
All right. I can wait.
Tony plays the piano, and Stuffy waves a conductor's baton. As Stuffy shakes his arms, the orchestra plays. Tony grins. As he plays, Tony throws a suave glance and nods to the music. With a flourish, he runs his right hand up the keyboard, then brings his left down hard. As he bounces his left knee to the beat, Tony's hands skate over the long row of black and white keys. He slides one finger across the middle keys. Smiling, he playfully taps one key at a time with his index finger. Tony's hands move apart, then close together. Several sheets of music lie propped up above the keyboard. He focuses on the keys, then smiles casually at the audience. His head jauntily from side to side, and his hands skip across the keyboard. Spying the sheriff, Tony leaps off the stage and runs away. The sheriff starts after him, then turns to Stuffy. Eyes wide, Stuffy sits at the piano. Stuffy frowns, cups one ear, then tries again. Glaring at the keyboard, Stuffy rolls up his sleeves. The lid falls off the piano. Standing, Stuffy pounds the keys. The piano breaks apart. The wooden case slides off. Stuffy chucks the key lid, then pulls up the piano stool. As he plays, the white keys pop off and fly into the air. The piano's hammers all shoot out. The piano collapses. Stuffy lifts a triangular frame out of the piano wreckage. The frame, as big as the inside of the piano, has rows of long strings. It's a harp. The sheriff fumes nearby. Gesturing to the musicians, Stuffy sits and starts to play. Using his fingertips, he gently plucks the row of tight strings. Stuffy fixes his wide eyes on the harp. With a goofy smile, he taps the heel of one hand on the strings. Jiggles to the music, and his eyes grow wide. Stuffy's hands sweep across the strings in small circles. He works the strings faster and faster with his thumbs. One hand taps the strings, the thumb of the other plucks a single string. He grins, then sees the sheriff scowling at him. Open-mouthed, Stuffy spins the piano seat, then tries to sit on it. He flies into the air. He lands in the water. Stuffy bobs to the surface and paddles away. The sheriff chases him from the bank. Now Whitmore paces outside. The blonde walks up.
Well, it's in the bag. I have a date with him in his room at 12.
Nice going. See that you stay there till I break in with Mrs. Upjohn. I want Hackenbush fired out of the sanitarium tonight.
Don't worry, Toots. When you knock on the door, I'll have that moth-eaten Romeo playing the balcony scene.
As they stroll off, Stuffy climbs out of a nearby bush. He shakes his fist in their direction, then bolts into a yard. Six women spin a blindfolded Tony. The women scatter, and Stuffy runs into Tony's open arms.
I got you.
Tony pulls off his blindfold.
You're spoiling my game. What's the matter?
Stuffy holds a finger above his lip.
Buffalo Bill?
Stuffy takes hunched steps.
Buffalo Bill goes ice skating.
Stuffy puts a finger under his nose again, then jabs at a bush.
Oh, Hackenbush.
Stuffy shakes his hand.
Oh, what's the matter with him? Dr. Hackenbush.
Stuffy mimes a curve.
He's got a snake.
Stuffy traces an hourglass curve in the air.
No. He's got apple dumpling. No. Dr. Hackenbush. He's got apple dumplings.
Stuffy exaggerates the curve.
Oh, it's no apple dumpling, no.
Stuffy pulls up his pants leg.
Oh, it's a woman! A woman! Oh.
They shake hands.
Oh, there's a woman. Yeah, smart, eh? Dr. Hackenbush. There's a woman.
Stuffy stomps and shakes a fist.
She got a wooden leg. No? She got a woodpecker.
Stuffy hides his face.
She got a headache.
Stuffy smacks him, then mimes the mustache.
Dr. Hackenbush.
The curve.
There's a woman.
He punches.
She knock on the door.
Stuffy jumps and pumps Tony's hand.
Right. Dr. Hackenbush. There's a woman. She knock on the door.
Stuffy points at Tony, then sidesteps. He mimes the curve, walks in place, and swivels his hips.
Hey, you're crazy. You make me sick.
Stuffy grabs a framed sign off a tree, knocks out the sign, and holds the frame in front of his face.
Oh, she's going to frame him.
Stuffy falls into his arms, and Tony drags him away. Now, Dr. Hackenbush dances around an elegant suite. He prances up to a dressing table and gazes into a gilt mirror. Hackenbush's feet step lightly as he brushes his wiry dark hair, then uses the same brush on the sleeves of his embroidered smoking jacket. Grinning, Hackenbush does an awkward pirouette, then leans on a table for two and sticks one thin leg behind him in the air.
Who is it? Just a moment, fruitcake.
He wiggles his hips, then grabs a perfume bottle. Scurrying around the room, Hackenbush sprays perfume on some flowers, a chair, and a settee. Then he squirts the bottom of his shoe. Setting the bottle down, he straightens his tie and flounces across the room, chin up. He strikes a coy pose by the door.
Yes?
It's the blonde.
Oh, doctor. Thank you.
Thank you.
He grabs a box.
Do you like gardenias?
I adore them. How did you know?
I didn't, so I got you forget-me-nots. One whiff of this and you'll forget everything.
She sniffs the rumpled flower.
Won't you sit down?
Hackenbush briskly seats Miss Marlowe at the table for two, which is covered with a large floral centerpiece.
Thank you.
Thank you.
She holds out her cape.
Do you mind?
Not at all. I always take the rep.
He tosses it on the floor.
You're such a charming host.
The Hackenbushes were all like that. How about a short beer?
Nothing, thank you.
Thank you.
He sits, then tries to see around the table's centerpiece.
Ah, oh, Miss Marlowe, I've dreamed of this moment ever since I've met you. For days I've been trying to see you. And I still don't seem to be able to make the grade. Ah, quiet evening alone with you. What more could anyone ask?
He peeks under the table.
Hey, did you sneak out of here? Oh, there you are.
He stands on his chair.
Isn't this too devastating? Would you mind carving? I can't reach the steak from here.
Me?
Tony and Stuffy barge in.
Hey, Doc. Hey, Doc. Can you see us?
If I can't, there's something wrong with my glasses.
Stuffy points at Miss Marlowe.
You mean her? She's the one? We fix her. Ah, Signorina Gentile Belli. Oh, baby, you look good. Oh!
Tony jumps into her lap.
Stop it.
Wait a minute. I thought you came here to see me.
Well, I can see you from here.
Oh!
Stuffy hops on Tony's lap.
You're not my friend. Oh!
Stuffy grins and slaps his thigh, beckoning to Hackenbush. Hackenbush shakes his head.
Oh, no, not for me. Three men and a horse.
Oh, what is the meaning of this?
She shoves them off.
Why, you little pest!
Say, what's the matter with you mugs? Have you got any gallantry at all?
She's in with Whitmore. She's trying to frame you.
I wouldn't mind framing her. A prettier picture I've never seen.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Hey, Doc! Doc, I'm telling you in secret, she's out to get you!
Why, I've never been so insulted in my life.
Well, it's early yet.
Well, I'm leaving. I'm certainly not going to stay here with these men.
You're not leaving, they're leaving. Now, come on.
He and Stuffy yank her cape.
My cape!
Hackenbush pulls her back.
You fellas are busting up a beautiful romance. What's the matter with you?
Hey, Doc, get her out. She's going to make trouble.
You've got her all wrong. This is my aunt, and she's come to talk over some old family matters.
I wish I had an aunt look like that.
Well, take it up with your uncle.
Hey, Doc. Doc, you're playing with fire.
I noticed you didn't mind getting scorched.
Well, I got fire insurance.
Well, you better get accidents.
Scram, blow!
Stuffy blows her face powder. Oh. The makeup flies all over her. Stuffy runs out.
Oh. How do you like those cheap chiselers horning in on us?
She brushes off her black dress. Hackenbush pulls out her chair.
Thank you.
Thank you.
He topples in his chair. He rights himself.
How about a little scotch?
Why, I'd love it. Oh, I'll ring for some.
Thank you.
Thank you.
He picks up the phone.
Will you have the bellhop hop up with some hopscotch? I'll flip it to see who pays for it.
Oh, doctor.
Tony walks in, wearing a fake mustache and a bowler hat. He places a wide key ring around his neck.
I'm O'Reilly, the house detective.
Don't talk so loud. Your mustache will drop off.
Have you got a woman in here?
If I haven't, I've wasted 30 minutes of valuable time.
Well, you better get her out of here. This is the last time I'm going to tell you.
The last time? Can I depend on that?
Yes, because this time I'm going to stay all night.
Tony stretches out on a sofa. Hackenbush plants his hands on his hips, and Miss Marlowe fumes.
This looks like a top case.
So does this.
I think I'll call me assistant.
Stuffy shuffles inside, walking two bulldogs. A plaid detective's cape hangs on his frame, topped by a cap with ear flaps. A curled mustache hangs off a pipe in his mouth. He peers at Miss Marlowe with a magnifying glass.
If you're looking for my fingerprints, you're a little early.
Hackenbush grabs a steak off the table. He waves it at the dogs, then runs across the room. He slides it in Tony's pocket. The dogs tip over the sofa.
When you get through with that steak, chew him.
As Stuffy hangs onto their leashes, the dogs chase Tony, pulling Stuffy after them. Tony slides under a table.
Pull on your ears, you're coming to a tunnel.
Stuffy's dragged under the table as the dogs clamp down on Tony's rear. Tony runs out with Stuffy in tow.
Been a nice quiet dinner.
How do you know? You haven't had any yet. Shall we?
He walks in a tilted gait, then quickly pulls out her chair.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Beaming at her, he stumbles into his own chair.
Tomato soup?
She nods. He takes the lid off a silver tureen and pulls out a can. He glances around.
Have you got a can opener? Oh, here it is.
Miss Marlowe glances at her watch.
Oh, I'm really not hungry. Couldn't we just sit over here? I want to be near you.
They embrace, cheek to cheek.
Oh, hold me closer. Closer. Closer.
I hold you any closer, I'll be in back of you.
You're so comforting.
The Hackenbushes were all like that. Shall we sit down and bat it around?
He leads her to the settee. She sits on his lap. He searches the empty space next to him and then looks at her and wiggles his brows.
You're a little nearsighted, aren't you?
Oh.
Don't think I'm low. Oh, no. There's nobody else going to get in. I bolted the door.
It drops open. Tony and Stuffy come in, carrying ladders.
Say, fun is fun.
Stuffy balances a bucket on his head. White goo sloshes out of it.
We come to hang the paper.
How about hanging yourself instead?
They put their ladders on either side of the settee.
Well, I'm going to stay right here.
Thank you.
Aww.
That's right, Stuffy. You work on that side, I work on this side, and we meet on the ceiling.
You line up on the gallows, is my prediction.
Mismatched wallpaper rolls down over the lovers.
I must be a citizen. I just got my second papers.
Tony and Stuffy glue more paper rolls to the wall.
Looks like a wet track tomorrow, Stuffy.
Rolls of paper hide Hackenbush and Miss Marlowe in the hall.
He's got a woman in his room. I'll see that he's dismissed immediately.
Mrs. Upjohn and Whitmore enter.
What's going on?
Glue splatters the room.
Gracious!
Miss Upjohn shields herself, then turns to Whitmore.
You're mistaken. There's no woman here. What are they?
No.
Whitmore yanks away the papers. Hackenbush reads, alone on the settee.
Hugo! What are you doing?
I'm having the place done over to make a lovely honeymoon suite.
Oh.
A paper roll flies at her.
Better go, dear. We're tearing up the floor next.
Oh, my. Come, Mr. Whitmore. I've a few words to say to you.
Whitmore stumbles after Mrs. Upjohn. Hackenbush gets up.
Boys, you are wonderful. You saved my life.
Miss Marlowe climbs out of the settee.
I'll get even. You dirty, low-down, cheap, double-crossing snake.
Thank you.
Stuffy papers her rear.
Oh!
Now outside the sanitarium, Hackenbush sulks beside Mrs. Upjohn.
Hugo, speak to me.
He wiggles in his seat.
I said I was sorry about last night. I never should have mistrusted you. Isn't there anything I can do to make you forgive me?
You could take over the notes from Miss Standish.
Then would you forgive me?
Well, it would help.
He takes her hand.
Emily, I can't hide it any longer. I love you.
Oh, Hugo.
It's the old story. Boy meets girl. Romeo and Juliet. Minneapolis and St. Paul. Mrs. Upjohn.
Gill approaches.
Judy has the papers ready for you to sign.
Later, later. Can't you see we're busy?
It's all right, Emily. I'll remember where I left off.
He pulls her.
Must they do that now?
Whitmore stops them.
Mrs. Upjohn, just a moment, please. Mrs. Upjohn, may I present Dr. Leopold X. Steinberg of Vienna? And this is Dr. Hackenbusch.
Ah, doctor. I have a few questions I would like to ask you.
I've got a question I'd like to ask you. Steinberg, what do you do with your old razor blades?
Huh?
I've been telling Dr. Steinberg about your unusual case.
Yes, and I would like to know what is this ailment, double blood pressure?
Hackenbusch rolls his eyes.
Dr. Hackenbusch tells me I'm the only case in history. I have high blood pressure on my right side and low blood pressure on my left side.
There's no such thing. She looks as healthy as any woman I've ever met.
You don't look as though you ever met a healthy woman.
What?
Gentlemen, gentlemen, there's a very simple way to settle this. Why not examine Mrs. Upjohn?
Splendid, splendid.
Right this way, Mrs. Upjohn.
Dr. Hackenbusch will show you. Then I insist that you apologize to him. Come, Hugo. The idea.
Hackenbusch tries to skedaddle. Gill grabs him.
Hey, Doc, where you going?
Don't you realize if Steinberg examines that woman, we're through?
I'm through right now.
Oh, no, you're not. Now, you got to get in there. Do anything but stop Steinberg. Come on, you got to hurry.
I'll say I have to hurry. I'm hopping the next banana boat for Central America.
He darts upstairs, in his room.
Wait, Doc, wait.
Stuffy cuts long slits into the mattress.
It's all right with me. Go right ahead. I'm not sleeping here tonight.
Stuffy pulls out an armful of hay and opens the closet.
It's high hat.
Nonsense. That's a horse.
No, it's high hat. We hide him in the closet so the sheriff can't find him.
Is that so? Well, he's not going to find me either because I'm leaving here.
He grabs a suitcase.
Doc, wait a minute now.
Tony wears the smoking jacket. The doctor pulls it off him and packs it.
Just as soon as I get my effects. Oh, Jack and Bush isn't going to be with you very long.
He grabs a tie off Stuffy.
I can't walk out on us like this. I'll say I can. I'm going to run out.
He keeps packing.
You can't go, Doc. If you walk out, where'll Judy be?
Well, she won't be in jail. That's where I'll be if I stay here. Besides, what can I do?
You've got to stop the examination somehow.
Not today, I don't.
Are you a man or a mouse?
You put a piece of cheese down there and you'll find out. Well, it's been nice seeing you.
Tony and Stuffy grab him.
Oh, no, you don't. You leave, it's over my dead body.
Well, that's a pleasant way to travel. Look out.
All right, now look, Doc. Look, Doc. You can't leave a Miss Judy in a fix like this.
I know, but the sheriff...
Doc, if you leave now, Judy loses the sanitarium. All right, I'll stay.
You gonna stay?
Later, Hackenbusch rushes into the exam room.
So, next we will see.
Just a moment. Take your hands off her. A fine doctor you are. Don't you know you're not supposed to touch a patient without being sterilized? You don't see me running an examination like that.
No, that's true. And I think it will be very interesting to see just how Dr. Hackenbusch does conduct an examination.
Splendid, splendid. Show them, doctor.
If you insist, I'll proceed.
He glances around, then dips his hands in a wash basin. Dr. Steinberg stares at him.
In case you've never done it, this is known as washing your hands.
Whitmore frowns, and Mrs. Upjohn rolls her eyes. Hackenbusch takes off his wet watch and tosses it on a table. As Dr. Steinberg looks at the watch, Hackenbusch eyes him, then tosses the watch in the basin.
Rather have it rusty than missing.
He dips his cupped hands in the basin, and the water slides down his arms.
You'll go a long ways to see prettier drippings than those.
By sterilization. After all, this is not an operation, you know.
Not yet, but I make it hot and operate on everybody in the joint, including you.
Steinberg stiffens.
Come, come, doctor. Aren't you ready?
Now, Mrs. Upjohn, I guess I know my business. Of course, that's just a guess on my part, but at any rate, I know a thing or two about cleanliness, and that's more than I can say for that mountain goat standing there.
The bearded doctor's eyes pop wide.
Come, doctor, we're waiting.
All right, if you insist, we'll proceed at once. Now, Mrs. Upjohn, I want you to take your arms and let them wave through the air with the greatest of ease.
She flaps her arms like a bird.
Not too swiftly.
Like that, doctor?
Yes, that's splendid.
How long do you want me to do this, doctor?
Just until you fly away.
She halts. Tony and Stuffy walk in, wearing surgical masks and scrubs. Tony nods at Hackenbusch.
I told you guys to stay down in that room with those pigeons.
Stuffy coyly eyes Dr. Steinberg, then strolls to the wash basin and dips his fingers in the three sinks. The back of his lab coat reads, Joe's Service Station.
Dr. Hackenbush, tell me, who sent for these men?
You don't have to send for them. You just rub a lamp and they appear.
My name is Steinberg.
Next, that's Steinberg. Dr. Steinberg, by a strange coincidence, this is another Dr. Steinberg.
Tony and Steinberg bow.
I'll introduce my colleagues and good friends, another Dr. Steinberg.
Steinberg bows to Stuffy. Stuffy bows backwards.
Steinberg and Mrs. Steinberg. And doctor, I'd like you to meet another Dr. Steinberg.
A diagram of a skeleton.
And that's Steinberg Jr.
If Dr. Hackenbush is not going to continue with the examination, Professor, may we have your diagnosis, please?
Steinberg reads from a paper.
In all my years of medicine...
Hackenbush rips it.
Medicine, why, you don't know the first thing about medicine. And don't point that beard at me, it might go off.
Dr. Steinberg, do you remember your diagnosis?
Certainly. To begin with, her pulse is absolutely normal.
I challenge that.
Challenge that? You take a pulse.
Pulse?
Take a pulse.
I don't do any pulse work. I am an acute diagnostician.
To Stuffy.
Take her pulse.
Stuffy grabs Mrs.
pulse.
Upjohn's bag.
Oh, no. My purse.
You must forgive him. He doesn't spell very well, Mrs. Upjohn.
Oh, dear.
She grabs their hands.
Gentlemen, let us begin.
Oh, you shouldn't have done that. Now we're all unsterilized. What's
the three rush to the sinks.
Down by the old
They walk in circles, each drying his hands on the other's coattails.
Well, I must say I've seen quicker examinations.
Maybe, but you'll never see a slipperier one.
Gentlemen, are you ready to proceed?
We'll proceed immediately.
Doctor, and what do you expect to do next?
The next thing I think we should do is wash our hands.
Yeah. They scoot over to the sinks.
Down by the old...
Stuffy dries his hands on Steinberg's coattails.
What about these? These get away!
We think it's going to be all right. Nurse! Sterilization! Sterilization!
Three pretty nurses come in and help the boys into surgical gowns. A nurse slides one on Stuffy, who hugs her tight.
Hey, just a moment. Just put the gown on, not the nurse. Huh?
Stuffy yanks off her uniform.
Oh, my.
She runs out.
How is it a dame like that never gets sick?
But I am sick. Doctor, will you pay attention to me?
You ought to get in line, Miss Upjohn. There's three orders ahead of you. Say, that my poor girl may be out there catching her death of cold. Same nurse, sterilization.
Hey, Doc, get away from
me. This is absolutely insane.
Yes, that's what they said about Pasteur.
Ah, this is ridiculous.
Why?
Put the patient in a horizontal position.
Tony and Stuffy tip the exam chair until Mrs. Upjohn lies on her back. Stuffy hangs a men-at-work sign on her raised feet.
Doctor, where are you?
Hackenbush snatches the sign and chucks it at Whitmore. At the armchair, Stuffy starts to lather Mrs. Upjohn's face. Whitmore grabs him.
Hold this to Miss Daniels. You wait and see if I don't. What are you doing? Get off there.
Tony shaves the cream off Mrs. Upjohn's face with forceps. Stuffy dips her hand in a bowl of water.
What are you doing? Now, give me that ball.
Hackenbush shines her shoes with his surgical gown, and Tony massages her face.
In all my life, I haven't seen such an excellent...
Steinberg points a finger.
But there is one indisputable test.
What?
The X-ray.
X-ray.
The three imposters scurry around the room.
Hey,
Stuffy mimes a yell and tosses papers like a paperboy. He socks Steinberg in the gut. Steinberg sits back into a bowl of water. Stuffy pulls a lever marked overhead sprinklers. As the sprinklers soak them, they all run for cover. Mrs. Upjohn opens the door. Hi-Hat trots in. Hackenbush jumps onto the moving horse. Then Tony climbs on. He pulls Stuffy up behind him as they gallop away. Now in a barn, Stuffy holds a sock between his toes and waves it gently above a small fire. Gil, Tony, and Hackenbush sit around the fire, their eyes downcast.
Well, I certainly messed things up for Judy.
You messed things up. I suppose old Doc Hackenbush didn't throw a nasty monkey wrench.
You not throw the monkey wrench. I'm the guy that did it.
Now listen, it was nobody's fault but mine.
Stuffy points at himself.
Now, I don't want any more arguments. It was all my fault.
I think he's right. It was his fault.
Oh, it was my fault, eh? That's the thanks I get. I get you the first shower you had in years, and you turn on me like a snake in the grass.
Someone's coming.
The sheriff!
The boys scramble for hiding places. Judy swings open the barn's tall doors and steps inside. Gil's face relaxes into a smile.
Judy!
Hello, Miss Judy!
Bobby.
They all run over.
Hello.
You're the prettiest sheriff I've ever seen.
Oh, you thought I was the sheriff?
We're taking no chances.
I just bought you these blankets. I thought it might make it a little more comfortable living out here.
Stuffy grabs the pile.
Get up.
You should worry about our comfort after the way we bungled your affairs.
You did your best, Gil.
Yes, and our best was none too good.
Tell me, Miss Standish, is the water still running in the examination room?
After tomorrow, I'm afraid that's Mr. Morgan's worry.
Morgan, he no got to the sanitarium yet.
No, a lot of things can happen before tomorrow.
The sanitarium doesn't matter anymore.
No.
Gil, you were right. I've been taking things far too seriously. It's much better this way. Now I can be free. I won't be tied down. I can enjoy myself and really laugh.
Oh, Judy, please.
Don't cry, Miss Judy. I feel sad, but I laugh. I laugh and stop. He's laughing too. Look, go on and laugh and stop. Look, I got a voice. I laugh. Go on and laugh.
Where did that come from?
Judy runs to a window and Gil follows. Several children jump rope outside.
It can't be that bad, Judy.
She buries her forehead in his shoulder and he holds her.
Look at those kids. Laughing and happy. Come on, you're just a kid. Laugh. Be happy.
She attempts a smile.
The day is through. The sun descending has brought to you no happy ending. But you can face the setting sun and say, tomorrow is another day.
In the barn, horse nibbles hay off Stuffy's hat.
You've had your share of tears and trouble, but every care will be a bubble if you can face the setting sun and say tomorrow.
Stuffy sneaks over, clutching a small flute.
Some days a little rain must fall. The skies can all be blue. Sometimes a little tear.
Judy smiles at Gil and he caresses her chin.
Today is gone. It's all behind you. A brighter dawn will surely find you. If you can face the setting sun and sun.
Stuffy grins at them and plays his flute. They glance over. Stuffy dances a little jig. In the farmyard, a group of black children follows Stuffy as he passes a circle of boys playing craps. One boy shakes the dice.
Old dice don't come to me.
A pack of children dances behind Stuffy. They stop at a window.
Hallelujah.
Stuffy and the children peer through the dirty window. A dozen black men and women fill a one-room shack. One woman slowly moves a checker piece. A man puts on a small bowler hat. Wide-eyed, they step outside and join him. Across the yard, a swing dance makes another shack sway. Inside, musicians rock to the beat and couples dance. Stuffy sneaks closer. A thin black woman sings.
Come on and jambo, a jam what ambo.
A slack-jawed banjo player opens the door.
Where's Gabriel?
The band trots after Stuffy. A crowd tags behind as Stuffy skips into the barn. Gil, Judy, Tony, and Hackenbush sit and watch the dancing. The crowd throws their arms in the air.
Tomorrow is another day.
Stuffy flips the pages off a calendar. Stuffy motions the thin singer forward.
I got a frown, you got a frown, all got children got a frown on their face. Take no chance with that frown, a song and a dance turned upside down. Oh, 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 zazzle, zazzle, all got children got children got swing. Maybe haven't got money, maybe haven't got shoes. All God's children got rhythm, gonna push away their blues, yeah. All God's children got trouble. Trouble don't mean a thing. When they start to go, howdy ho, all your troubles go away. Say, all God's children got swing.
Children run up to her.
All God's children got rhythm.
Ba-da-da-da, da-da-da, ga-da-da-da, ba-da-roll, yay!
All God's children got rhythm.
Ba-da-da-da, ga-da-da-da, ba-da-da-da-da-da-roll, yay! Maybe heaven got money, oh, maybe heaven got you. All God's children got rhythm. Hold a push, hold a push, hold a push.
The tubby piano player does a jerk-legged dance, then spins. Shoving his round belly out, he rolls his shoulders and struts. The singer mirrors his moves. Sliding into a half split, the piano player pumps his hips. With an open-mouthed smile, he plants one hand on his plump waist and dances toward her. Four couples swing dance into the center of the crowd. Three of the couples drop to the sidelines, and one stays in the center. The woman shakes her hips, and her partner twirls her away, then pulls her back. Another couple takes their place, stepping quickly to the beat. The man whirls around, and the woman shimmies. Her partner grins and waggles a finger. Then he crouches down, and she does a handspring over his back. Another couple steps up. The man spins in front of his partner. She wiggles her tight-skirted rear end. They twirl together, then apart. As the other dancers cheer, he slides her under his legs, then lifts her high in the air. The fourth couple takes their turn. Holding each other in a loose ballroom position, they quickly kick their legs forward and back. She turns away and grabs his hands. In unison, they kick to the side. He grabs her slim waist and flips her over. Now all four dance in the center. In sync, the couples stamp their feet and kick out their legs. One man bends over and another man jumps on his back. A woman leaps onto them and waves. Now Stuffy uses a pitchfork as a baton. He leads the crowd. Hackenbush and Tony waggle their hands and strut. Hackenbush pauses as the sheriff, Whitmore, Morgan, and several other men stop at the open barn door. The outlaws hide under a wagon. Hackenbush smears axle grease on his face. Tony does the same. They crawl back out, their faces dark with grease. Stuffy follows, with only half his face greased. Craning their necks, all three slip dancing into the crowd. They step out into the front row of dancers. As the crowd raises their arms in the air, the three outlaws shuffle step in front. Morgan claps.
Mr. Sheriff!
The crowd scatters. Hackenbush hides behind the tubby piano player. The sheriff spots him.
You've got nothing on me. My stripes are clean.
Yeah, this letter from Florida says you're a horse doctor.
Tony and Stuffy knock hay bales on the cops.
Put them all under arrest. There you run, Sheriff. You break the legs.
Hi-Hat breaks free and chases Morgan.
Get that horse. Get that horse.
Morgan flees into the wagon.
What's wrong with that horse?
Oh, he goes wild every time he sees Morgan or hears his voice.
A cop grabs Tony as the sheriff chases Hackenbush.
Come here, you!
Hi-Hat paces around the wagon, kicking it. Whitmore cowers under the wagon. A rope lassos the sheriff. High in the rafters, Stuffy uses the other end like a pulley. He drops down, and the sheriff dangles.
You can't get away with this!
As Hi-Hat breaks apart the wagon, Morgan flees and takes cover underneath.
Get the horse!
Judy throws a harness on a cop. Another cop chases Stuffy. Stuffy leaps onto Hi-Hat. They gallop out.
Stop that horse! Don't let him get out of here!
They jump the gate.
Did you see that horse jump?
And I'm doing some pretty fancy jumping myself.
As Hackenbush runs, Tony drops a gas lamp onto his pursuer's head. The sheriff.
I'll throw you all in jail! Get me down! Get me out of here! This is no way to treat the law! You'll never get away with this!
As the sheriff kicks the air, Hackenbush and the others dash outside.
There he goes.
Hi-Hat clears a fallen tree, then leaps a stone wall.
He's headed south. I'd like to make a reservation.
Hi-Hat jumps a car.
Look at that horse. He cleared the automobile. I wish I could clear mine.
Darling, perhaps that's why he never won a race. He's a jumper.
Am I a sap? I have a steeplechase horse and I don't know it.
Hi-Hat stops short at a billboard. Grand Steeplechase Saturday. Stuffy flies through. Now a montage of scenes from the racetrack. Two handlers lead a horse, and large crowds mill outside. Hundreds of people stream toward the arena. A boyish jockey rides a horse onto the field. A massive crowd fills the multi-level stands. On the track, horses wear their numbers. On the sidelines, a board reads, sixth race, $50,000. Added starter, Hi-Hat and Stuffy. Whitmore and Morgan scowl.
We're going to find that added starter and see that he doesn't start.
They search the stable.
They're not pulling any fast ones on me. Hi-Hat's not running in this race.
But Hi-Hat isn't a jumper.
He's been doing plenty of jumping in the barn last night.
But he can't beat your horse.
Well, I'm not taking any chances. My money is riding on skee ball, and that's not all. If Hi-Hat wins, Stuart will give that money to the girl. We can kiss the sanitarium goodbye.
Well, Morgan, you got nothing to worry about. Hi-Hat's not on this track.
Well, you see that he doesn't get on. Put a man at every gate. If that nag slips by you, it means your job.
The sheriff gapes. Now Tony and Stuffy slide down an awning toward Hackenbush. As Hackenbush views a hospital truck through binoculars, Stuffy and Tony jockey for a look. Hackenbush yanks the binoculars apart, handing a scope to each of them.
Here. Keep me posted.
Gil drives the truck. Next to him, Judy wears a nurse's uniform. A sign on the truck reads, Sparkling Springs Racetrack Ambulance.
He's made it! He's made it! Go ahead, Stuffy. Go to it. Good luck.
Ride him, cowboy. Over heading for the last lockup.
Come on, Doc. We get a reserve seat.
Now, inside the arena, Gil parks the ambulance. Judy's eyes whiten as she spots Morgan.
I got a man on every gate. There's no sign of him.
We'll see there's no sign of him until after
the...
The ambulance shakes. Its sign falls off, revealing Standish Sanitarium on the truck. Morgan points.
If you believe in signs, Sherlock, take a look at that ambulance.
As they rush over, Judy sneaks out. The sheriff grabs Gil.
Now, wait a minute, Sheriff.
Don't you start anything, Stuart.
He opens the back doors.
Aha! Just put this baby under lock and key.
He shoves Gil in the truck and locks the doors.
You keep searching for those other mugs.
In the crowd, Judy pulls off her nurse's disguise, then splits. Hackenbush and Tony look over a balcony. Stuffy's below.
Stuffy! What's the matter?
Stuffy waves his arms and whistles.
What happened?
Stuffy grabs a hat off a man's head and throws it.
My hat's gone. The race is going to start.
They won't start the race till we find the high hat.
Now Tony throws a glob of harness soap under a horse's saddle. Outside, Morgan turns to his jockey.
Now listen, son, you're riding this race to win. I don't care what you do, as long as the judges don't see you doing it.
All right, man. Go to your horses.
A handler boosts up Morgan's jockey, but the saddle slips and he falls on his rear. All the other jockeys fall too. Goo hits one. He wipes it off.
Soap!
By the track, Stuffy watches a bugler blow his horn. A soap bubble forms. Stuffy runs. Now horses enter the track.
We are sorry for the delay, but the horses are now coming on the track.
25 minutes late.
The horses are parading past the grandstand. Only 11 are headed postward. High hat, the added starter, is missing.
In the stands, Stuffy turns on a giant fan. Hundreds of hats blow around the arena. On the track, horses scatter as hats tumble in their path. Later, Tony and Hackenbush find Stuffy perched in a tree.
Hey, Stuffy!
Stuffy, did you find him?
Did you find the ambulance? Well, I keep on looking. We know it came in.
On the track, two men toss armfuls of hats into the crowd.
I've ordered the trash player to track.
Morgan.
Down, your men! Don't stop searching till you find them.
Hey, up.
A man hands Morgan and Whitmore hats. Whitmore's is too small. All over, men don ill-fitting hats.
And everyone is getting his own hat, we hope. Horses are coming back to the starter now. They're very fractious.
Now Tony whacks a no parking sign against a tree, and the no breaks off. He leads a group of cars with a sign.
Free parking! Here you are! Free parking!
Tony waves cars into the arena on the track.
They're coming up this time, almost in an even line.
Several cars drive onto the racetrack. A dozen more motor on.
Hold on, horses! Hold it.
The starter chucks his flag. Seated on a barrier fence, Hackenbush watches the cars roll by.
Well, you know, nice fresh parking today. Right ahead, folks.
Cars clog the dirt track and the horses bump into each other. Four cops try to stop the flow of cars. Hackenbush jumps off the fence as two cops race after him. He hops onto the running board of a passing car. Spotting more cops, he climbs into the car's back seat. Three women sit inside.
You girls got anything on for tonight?
He scurries out. Nearby, a cop tails Tony.
Hey, get up!
Tony scrambles up a car. Packed two by two between the fence and the high wall, the cars choke the road to the track. Drivers and cops try to squeeze through on the ground. Hackenbush scoots across the car's roofs. He slips. Cops grab at him, but he slides to the ground and scampers through the traffic. Onlookers peer over the wall as Hackenbush weaves around cars, dodging the cops. He jumps onto a car, steps along the fence rail, and then rolls over a car roof. He breaks out of the traffic jam. He and Tony meet up at a run, the cops on their heels.
Going my way?
In the stands, the judges flail their arms.
Get him out of here!
Stuffy whistles to the outlaws.
Did you find high hat?
Well, keep looking. You must be around somewheres.
Now on an outside road, the ambulance slows to a stop. At the bottom of a nearby hill, a car lies on its side, and a woman sprawls face down on the grass. The sheriff hurriedly opens the ambulance's back doors.
Get that horse out of there. It's been a terrible wreck.
Gil hops out.
Come on, hurry up. Help me.
The sheriff grabs a rolled-up stretcher. Kneeling on the hillside, he works to unroll the stretcher. Gil rushes over to the woman. He turns her over. It's Judy. She shushes him, then drops her head. Smiling, Gil carries her up the hill.
Come on, Sheriff. We've got no time to lose. Is she alive?
At the ambulance, Judy kisses Gil, then makes her body limp again. He lays her in the ambulance.
Get going, Sheriff. I'll take care of her. Right.
Gil closes the doors, then swings them open. He and Judy climb out, and the ambulance drives away. Gil grabs hi-hat and takes off. Now at the racetrack.
Well, here we are again. The horses are coming up.
Come off before something else happens.
The horses line up.
But it looks like he's going to send them away.
Easy.
Yes.
Easy.
Yes. Out now they go.
At last.
Tony and Hackenbush crouch by the far turn. They hoist up the track's outer fence. Carrying a section of it, they stretch the fence across the track, blocking it. The horses gallop through the outside opening onto the grass. In Morgan's box.
Get me the ranch, squad!
Whitmore scurries off.
Oh, Miss Morgan, don't get excited!
I'm not excited, shut up!
The horses trot back onto the track.
Quiet, please, your attention.
Outside the track, Gil rides up on a horse-drawn water wagon.
Stop me!
Stewards have ruled this a false start.
Gil pulls off his horse's saddle cloth, revealing one marked 7. As he and Stuffy fiddle with the wagon straps, two cops approach.
Stuffy, scram!
Stuffy climbs on hi-hat and rides off, wagon in tow. The cops hop on.
Horses are back at the starting point.
As the racehorses mill around, Stuffy rides the wagon right onto the track. The crowd gapes.
Get that wagon off of here!
Stuffy glances open-mouthed at a cop poised on the rear bumper. Stuffy leans onto the wagon and pushes two levers. Water spurts on the cops, knocking them off. Stuffy throws off his top hat and pulls on his striped racing cap. He gallops hi-hat toward the judges' stand.
Get out of the
way! Hi-hat breaks free from the wagon and speeds off.
From me. I don't know where he is.
What do you think that is, Trooper? Take a look at the track.
Stuffy wears full racing silks.
Number 7! Somebody's going to get it. But that's hi-hat!
They're coming up to the start this time, and the starter has his flag raised. Out now they go!
Hi-hat leaps onto the track and past the starter. Stuffy waves to Tony and Hackenbush. Stuffy races up to the other horses.
Flying team is saved. Sun helmet is worn, and Green Shot is his fifth. Now there goes my hat into contention. It's picking up his field. It's moving up between horses. And look at him go. He's moving up there as the leader. And it's Steamboat still in front for a thing in a second. But here comes my hat between horses. And now he's challenging the leader.
Hi-hat gallops a few feet behind Skee-Ball, Morgan's horse. The jockey glances back, frowning at Hi-hat. He presses his body closer to Skee-Ball and urges him on. Nearby, Tony, Hackenbush, Gil, and Judy watch.
And they're coming to the first fence now.
Hi-hat stops short.
Hi-hat refuses. He's turning back.
Stuffy shows him a photo of Morgan.
He's going to try it.
Hi-hat rears up and zips over the fence.
Oh, your ideal work, Judy.
Stuffy kisses the photo, then accidentally drops it.
Oh, he's lost Morgan's picture.
Stuffy rises off the saddle as Hi-hat races through the crowd of horses. Judy turns to Hackenbush.
Can't you shout like Morgan?
No, but Morgan can.
He and Tony split. As the horses pound down the track, Morgan and Whitmore watch with binoculars.
Hi-hat on the rail, but flying demon stage.
Something's happened to the loudspeaker.
Nearby, Tony wraps a newspaper around a microphone and sneaks to Morgan's box. On the track, the horses approach a fence. Stuffy frantically searches for Morgan's photo. Tony grabs Morgan's binoculars.
Let me take a look.
Give me those glasses. You've got your...
It's you! Officer!
Hi-hat bucks and bolts down the field. He jumps smoothly over the fence at the loudspeaker.
You take care of Judy and I'll take care of Morgan.
Hackenbush rushes off. On the track, Stuffy smacks Hi-Hat's flank with a riding crop. The horse's lean muscles ripple as he cuts through the crowd. In the clubhouse, Hackenbush hides behind a wall. Tony runs past, the sheriff hot on his tail. He tosses Hackenbush the microphone. On the track, Morgan's jockey whips Stuffy with his riding crop.
I hope the judges didn't see that.
The horses approach a fence. Stuffy cups his ear and looks around. In the stands, Hackenbush holds out the microphone.
Mr. Morgan, would you mind telling the radio audience what I hail you
are? Oh, come back later. Oh, I've had enough of it.
On the track, Hi-Hat speeds up and clears the fence.
Get that out away from me, do you understand?
The cops chase after Hackenbush. The horse's swift legs flash by. Stuffy cups his ear again.
Go on there, and stay there, and see that I'm not disturbed again today.
Nearby, Hackenbush ties the mic to a dog's collar. The dog jumps on Morgan's back.
Get out of here! Get out of here!
Stuffy grins, and Hi-Hat leaps over a hedge. Another horse and rider tumble. The speeding horses kick up dirt with their hooves. Stuffy glances at Morgan's jockey. Teeth clenched, the jockey kicks Stuffy's foot out of the stirrup. Stuffy falls forward but hangs on. They shove at each other as they barrel forward. Hackenbush dives into Morgan's box. Side by side, the two horses approach a water jump. Both jockeys fall.
The boat's down!
Stuffy's down!
The horses trot out of the water, and the jockeys stagger after them. They each swing themselves onto a muddy horse and ride off.
People in the lead!
On their feet, the crowd claps and cranes their necks. As the pack comes around a turn, Hi-Hat and Skee-Ball take the lead together. Judy and Gil pump their fists in the air. In the stands, Hackenbush shoves the mic at Morgan.
Smell this!
Ah, get away! I don't want to find anything! Get him out of here! Get him out of here, Clark! Get him
Stuffy
out of here.
Speeds up, closing in on Morgan's jockey.
Come on, Kimo! Come on, Kimo! Come on, boy!
Neck and neck, the horses surge forward. Morgan's jockey pulls ahead and crosses the finish line.
Kimo wins! He wins!
Gil and Judy stare blankly. Gil stuffs his hands in his pockets and turns away.
Okay, Sheriff, what do you rate for a sub with sudden exposure?
Come on!
Gil, Hi-Hat couldn't have tried harder. We were just unlucky.
The horses trot back to the finish line. Morgan steps onto the track.
Great race, Skee-Ball! Great race, Skee-Ball!
The horse bucks off Morgan's jockey. It charges Morgan.
Get out of here!
Morgan cowers under a fence. Stuffy walks over and wipes mud off the horse's saddlecloth, then throws a glob on the other jockey's face. The saddlecloth has a number 7 on it. Stuffy wipes off his matching armband.
It's number 7.
Hi-Hat's the winner.
Morgan and Whitmore gape.
Hi-Hat wins! Sheriff, cancel the reservation!
It's Hi-Hat!
Gil, come on! Come on, I want to put the wreath on the winner!
One more yell out of you and he'd have jumped over the grandstand.
Hey!
Stuffy!
Stuffy, you're wonderful!
They hug.
I haven't seen so much mudslinging since the last election.
Using their backs as steps, Stuffy climbs onto Hi-Hat. The musicians and dancers from the farmyard run up to Hi-Hat. They wave fistfuls of money. Everyone parades down the track.
And a blue band nation of waters together. A hi-hi-hi-hi-hi. Gary, a glassy, rootsy ice cream.
I got a message from the man on the moon for you. Just you.
Emily, I have a little confession to make. I really am a horse doctor. But marry me and I'll never look at any other horse.
Mrs. Upjohn hugs him.
It's the setting sun and set.
Bill and Judy beam. And Stuffy wears a zany grin. Credits appear. Partial cast. Leonard Seeley as Whitmore. Douglas Dumbrill as Morgan. Esther Muir as Flo. Sig Rahman as Dr. Steinberg. Robert Middlemass as Sheriff. With Vivian Fay, Ivy Anderson, and the Crinoline Choir. A title card appears. The End.